1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. In verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." There's a lot of things I could share with you this morning. There's a lot of things that we could look at the Word of God. You know, this time of year, 2020, maybe we talked about this a little bit Wednesday night being the first day of the year. But maybe anybody do New Year's resolutions? Somebody? All right. Thank you. I do too. Some people are like, no, that's not. God deals in my heart. I'm going to deal with it right. Okay, fine. That's fine. But sometimes the calendar turns over and it's just a good time to evaluate. Maybe you blew your resolution already and you don't want to admit it. I understand. A couple chapters behind in Genesis, but I'm catching up and I understand. But maybe some of that is, you know what, I'm trying to get to church a little bit more. And if you're here for the very first time, or if I want the whole world to know the most important thing that you could ever hear. And that is the gospel. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." Now, the Word of God is filled with very important things. Things that will guide your life and lead you and help you. And if you violate the Word of God, there's consequences. Follow the Word of God, there's blessings associated with that. Completely out of my hand, God's hand. He runs it. But if there was one thing, that would be the gospel. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." Now, if you're here this morning and you're like, I don't know what the gospel is. I think if I heard it, I would know it. You know, we just sang that song, "I Know My Name Is There." I know that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Say, how do you know that? The Word of God tells me that. I know that if I were to die today, that I am saved, as this verse says, from my sin. "By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you." Let us never forget the gospel. It tells us, keep in our memory, "unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection. But the fact that every person needs it. Every person needs it. Whether you live on the east side of town in the fancy houses, we were driving, we had to go pick up a part, and I was driving out to my dad's house, and there we found ourselves on Elmwood and over by Sandringham. Fancy houses. Fancy houses. You know what they need? The gospel. Little kids coming in on the bus. You know what they need? The gospel. Amen. Well-to-do families. You know what they need? They need the gospel. Broken over destruction and consequences of sin? The gospel. Those that are starving and in Africa, you know what they need? Saying they need a drink of water. They need the gospel.
Right, preach. Come on.
The gospel. Because look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Brother Rice says, no. Just a little bit. All right. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Oh, and that is good news here this morning. Because of the gospel, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is a freemint. Say, is that a word? It is now. A freeing of the consequence of sin. The Bible says there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So how do I get in on Christ Jesus? The gospel. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us. Lord, we need to hear from you. And God, I pray that if someone here today does not know where they'll spend eternity, Lord, I pray that this message would be the very thing that draws them to you. Lord, use your word. Holy Spirit of God, work in their hearts this morning. Lord, for those that know already, God, may it remind us of how important it is to share with others. Lord, give us a burden, a love for the lost. Lord, help us. Lord, we need you here this morning, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What is the gospel? The gospel is simply this. The good news that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for the sins of the entire world. All mankind, past, present, and future, he died for their sins. Say, well, what about that group of people that are them too? All of them. That he was raised from the dead for our justification, and that by all that believe are justified from all things. Isn't it good to know, no matter how deep the sin, no matter how grave the consequences of our choices, God can save us from our sins.
Yes, yes.
There is no condemnation.
Right, right.
Oh, that's good news.
Amen.
The Bible says, say, how on earth could something like that, how could Jesus dying on the cross take away the sins of the entire world? Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans 1:16. The Bible says this in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Look at, "For it is the power of God." See, only God can do something like that. There are 7.5 billion people in this world, and you're here to tell me that a man dying on a cross over 2,000 years ago seals their way to heaven if they so receive the gift of salvation? Yes. So how is that possible? By the power of God.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Only God can do something like that.
Right.
No man can do anything like that. The same God that brings the trees through seasons and makes the world spin like they do and makes this galaxy go around that galaxy and keeps it all together certainly can devise a plan to save all mankind from the consequences of their sin.
Right.
So what is the gospel? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that, all men have the opportunity to be saved. I was teasing some of our teenagers yesterday, and we were all set up for a wedding. We had the wedding for Haley and Anthony, and the room was vacated, and I said, "Hey, listen, all this is set up. You got somebody. We can rack this thing right out. Done. We can run these things through right now. I'm ordained. We can get you a thing. We got witnesses. Is there anybody?" I asked Lydia Seatman. She's little. She's like, "Not right now." I said, "Okay." An opportunity was presented. They just didn't take it. Hey, this morning an opportunity is given to you. Say, well, he died for the whole world. Isn't that good enough? Aren't I in? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. No, there's faith required. You need the gospel. I think I'm doing pretty good. We got the couple cars. We got a nice house over in town here. We work. Kids are healthy. I'm not sure I need the gospel. Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said." See, the enemy will always contradict the word of God. Did God really say that? Did God really take a stand on that? And yeah, he does. "Ye shall not eat of the every tree of the garden." And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." You sure he said that? And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat. Doesn't tell us what the fruit is, but they ate it. There was one thing in the entire world they couldn't do, and they did. It's like walking into a library. Shh, and all you do is want to talk. Oh, we just shut off the water. No one can use the restroom. Oh, I got to go to the bathroom all of a sudden. This is much worse. So why would God put a tree like that that's going to condemn all mankind in the middle of the garden? That's a great question. That's a great question. But herein we understand the character and love of God. What true worship is really all about. Because if there was no, if we were all forced to love God, is that truly love? If there was no choice to follow God, are we really choosing to follow God? So there had to be. There had to be a way. Well, they did eat. And here we find the very first sin. All of mankind was condemned thereafter. And you look at that and say, well, I wouldn't have eaten the tree. Oh. Lies. You most certainly would have. So how do you know? Let's go to Exodus chapter 20 this morning. Quickly peruse Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 is, well, what do we find in Exodus chapter 20? The law. Number of commandments. Oh, 10. What is sin when we break God's law? So let's go through and let's see if we have ever sinned. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Ever worship anything more than God? Bible says in verse 4, number 2, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Is anybody here still not guilty? Is anybody here still, I'm still clean. I've still not sinned. Thou shalt not kill, it says in verse 6. Well, there's one I didn't do. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Woo! Thou shalt not steal. I mean, it was just 15 minutes on my time card. It was just a pen. It was a candy bar. They have cases of them. You know when you steal, you know what you are? A thief. No, I'm a good person. You're a thief. Verse 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Ever break number 9? What does that make you? Makes you a liar. Thou shalt not covet. And it gives us a list of things. Ever want something that's not yours? Yes. There is no one in this room. This is just the Ten Commandments, not to mention the rest of the law of God.
Right.
I dare say we've broken all of them. Say, no, no, there was a couple in there I think I skipped. Matthew chapter 5 this morning. The Bible does tell us that if we offend in one point, we are guilty of all. But I almost can say this morning with full confidence that we are guilty of all. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Ever have hatred or anger in your heart towards somebody else? Guilty. Verse 27, "Ye have heard that it is said of by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." To which I think we could confidently say, somewhere along in our life, we have broken all 10 commandments. Pastor, I came to church to feel good. I came to church to be encouraged. I mean, the sun was shining. My team lost yesterday, but I'm here, and I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. I made a promise to my children. I made a promise to myself. 2020 is the year I'm going to get vision with the Lord, and I'm going to try going to church. I just want to come here and hear a nice message. I don't want to be called a liar, a murderer, an adulterer. I just want to remind you this morning that you need the gospel. You need the gospel. Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3 this morning. First, we looked at what the gospel was. Number two, we see the need for the gospel. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Say, you're pointing me out, you're making me feel, hey, all are guilty. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's no one that is without offense. We all need the gospel. There's not one person in the entire world that can say, I'm good enough. I'm righteous enough. I've done enough to earn. There's no earning salvation. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." That day when Adam and Eve took a bite of that fruit, whatever it was, they died spiritually. They were created to live forever. Forever. That day they got something they didn't have before, a death date. And every person thereafter, the consequence of sin is death. Understand that you don't die right away, I get that. But if you die in your sin, you're going to pay for your sin for eternity. Last night we went to a very nice dinner. My style. Italian. The cheese spread before was unbelievable. Felt like I was at grandma's house. Just wanted a little snack and stuff like that comes out. Say, that was really nice. It didn't cost me anything. I just walked in. Just took part of it. But it cost somebody something.
Right, right.
Hey, you know what? Jesus Christ paid for your sin. You don't have to.
Right.
He paid. He died. He was buried and he rose again. He had victory over sin and death.
Right. Yeah.
I don't have to pay for it. The account's been settled. I just have to accept it. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. We all need the gospel. There's not one person saying, well, you grew up on this side of town, or you came from this background, or whatever it is. There's nobody good enough.
Right.
1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. "But we know that the law is good." Say, I don't know. I didn't feel good coming out of that. if a man used it lawfully. Why? What does the law do? The Bible says in Galatians that the law was our schoolmaster. So what does that mean? That means that it brought me to Christ. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I needed a way out. And Christ was the answer. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. If you're driving down the road, you got your cruise control, you're driving through a 65 area, you got it set all the way up to 67. You can go by the police officer, clear conscience. I'm not doing anything wrong. I mean, they could pull you over for two, but I've never heard of it. But you're driving down 531, Mr. BMW 328i goes past you, and he comes up over that hill, must be from out of town, because he doesn't know that the sheriffs sit over on the other side of that hill at 259, and he comes up over that hill, you see him get to the top of the hill, and all of a sudden those brake lights turn on. What happens? Guilty conscience. The law is there for him because he's disobedient. Hey, the law is there for us because we've disobeyed. It's to reveal to us that we are, as the Bible says, ungodly. And for sinners. And for unholy and profane and for murderers, say, let's remember Matthew chapter 5. Fathers and murderers and mothers and manslayers and for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, look at this. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. You know what that law did? It brought me to the gospel. At 10 years of age, I heard the gospel, and at 10 years of age, I knew that I needed to be saved from my sin. Maybe you got saved at 5. Maybe you got saved at 45. But you're wrestling with something, a lack of peace in your heart. So how do I get it? How do I make the transfer from the cross to my heart? Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. What is the gospel? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And may I say that we all need it. Why? Because we are all sinners. No one escapes that label. No one escapes that status. You know, we all are about social media. If you don't have Facebook, you've chosen not to. It's not because you never heard of it. And you can update your status and, hey, what are you doing today? I'm feeling great today. I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling dreary. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling this. And you can update your status. Hey, everybody has the status, sinner condemned to hell for all eternity.
Right.
It's everybody. So how do I get rid of it? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What does that mean? That means looking at that and saying, yes, I believe that is enough to take away my sin.
Yes.
Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And then you're just going to have to trust Him. Because it takes faith to be saved.
Yes.
So how do I know if I can say it enough? How do I know if I repent enough? How do I know if I've said I'm sorry enough? How do I know if I've done it wholeheartedly? How do I know if I truly believe? You're just going to have to trust the Lord on that. You're just going to have to take him at his word. The Bible says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Regardless of your past, whether it's fluent or a mess, or anything in between, for whosoever. Man, I'm so glad it's whosoever. I honestly think if it wasn't whosoever, I'd miss. I don't come from a great pedigree of people.
Yeah.
I don't have a lineage like some. I don't have wealth like others. I'm just an average kid. That whosoever called upon the name of the Lord and was saved.
Yeah.
Say, what'd that do for you? Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. What did it do for me? It did everything for me.
Amen.
So did you get money? No. Prestige? Not really. That's not why you get saved.
Right.
Yes, Jesus Christ will forgive you your sins. Why? Because eternity is right around the corner.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons, look at this, unto glory. Hey, it went from a sinner to glory.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bible says there is none that, in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, this verse just said, you're now glorified. You're now justified. The thing I could not do in my own, I could not get rid of my sin. You cannot get rid of your sin.
Yeah.
You need Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it says that he brought, bringing many sons unto glory, to make a captain of their salvation perfect through his sufferings.
Yeah.
Made complete.
Yeah.
I'm cleaned up.
Yeah.
I've been forgiven.
Yeah.
Because I'm something good? No, because He's great.
Yes.
Say, what else? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The gospel. Number one, what is the gospel? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ available to all mankind. Number two, we need the gospel. Number three, the result of the gospel, it brings sons unto glory. Number two under that, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says this, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like being sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It protects me from my sin. It protects me. It gives me salvation as a gift that will last forever. Isn't that good? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Not based on my promise, but based on God's promise.
Yeah.
And God has never broken
right.
A promise. Never broken a promise. The Bible says the result of the gospel is that we are sealed. Once you're saved, you are in forever. There's nothing you can do to get out. Say, what happens if I go back to my life of sin? I'm sorry, you're already saved. Your sins are forgiven. Say I tell God I don't want to be saved. Now, number one, I don't know why you would ever say that. I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life, but getting saved is not one.
Right, sir.
Amen.
I've walked out of the house with different color socks on, shoes didn't match my belt, white socks with the suit. I've made some bad decisions. I've purchased cars that I shouldn't have. You know, you've done things like that. Made poor investments. I've never regretted trusting Christ. But if somehow, some way, I told God and said, God, I don't want you as my Father anymore. You know what I'm going to hear from the throne of God? Too bad. You're sealed, and there's nothing your little hands could do to break that seal. What about my mouth? Nope. If my son came and said, Dad, I don't want to be your son anymore. Sorry. You will always be my son.
Right. Yep.
I'm going to change my name. You're still my son. I don't care what you change your name to. I don't care what legal documents you file. I don't care what you say against God. It does not matter. You're sealed not by your promise, but by His.
Yes. Amen.
The result of the gospel is that I'm His child forever.
Amen.
Oh, that's good. The result of the gospel. Number one, brings sons unto glory. Number two, seals us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Say, did you come to Christ just to get clean and get right and hit a reset button? No, but that's just what happened. I didn't understand all that. I didn't understand that He was going to give me joy unspeakable, the peace that passes all understanding. I didn't know that at 10. I just knew I was a sinner in need of a Savior. When I asked Jesus Christ to save me, He made me a new creature. Changed me from the inside out. Changed the way I see things. Changed the way... That's what He does. He changes the way you see things. Changes your affections. Changes your desires. Gives you the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that now you can understand a holy book that'll last for all of eternity. Ever try reading the Bible lost? Man, that's tough. Maybe you got through a little bit. Maybe you tried it. Maybe someone at work challenged you, said, "Hey, dare you to read the book of John." Sure, I'll read John. I can read John. Going over reading John, going, "What on earth is this even talking about? Thought I understood. Where's the manger? Where's the..."
Yep.
Then you get saved and you read through the book of John and need a box of Kleenex to wipe your tears away, seeing how wicked you were and how gracious God is and His mercy. And it's like, I'm just undone. Someone rewrote my Bible when I got saved. Because I'm a new creature. The results of being saved. Acts chapter 20, our last point this morning. Acts chapter 20. If I could encourage you here this morning, if you don't know for sure that you've been saved by the blood of Christ, let today be the day. Because you're not promised tomorrow. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." Acts chapter 20, verse 24. "So that I might finish my course with joy and ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God."
Yes.
The gospel is such good news, it's worth repeating.
Yes.
For the last 30 some years, as best as I can, unfaithful at times, been trying to tell other people about the gospel. I'm not trying to convert people to be Indians fans or to try and even come to Walker Bible Baptist Church. But that they would be saved. The gospel is worth repeating. Ever get information and then you tell someone else and, oh, it goes bad. It's called gossip. Did you hear about... Did you hear the one about maybe he repeated a joke that you wish he wouldn't have? Do you understand that repeating the gospel, you'll never be like, "Man, I wish I didn't share that.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't tell them about the Savior. Wish I didn't share with him that he needed Jesus Christ."
Right.
It's worth repeating. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. There's no greater story that you can tell. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach calculus. Teach young children how to diagram sentences. Tell them about investing. Tell them how important it is to find the right spouse." No. We are sent all over the world to preach the gospel.
Yes. Amen.
The world doesn't need to hear that in Rochester, New York, they have the world's greatest submarine sandwiches, which is true, DeBella's. They don't need to hear it. They need to hear the gospel. Your neighbors, they don't need to hear about your new dress or the size of the deer you got. They need to hear the gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
The gospel. It's worth repeating.
Yes.
"Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We read in verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So how are they going to hear about that? Excellent question. In verse 15, it says, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to share the word of God. We need to preach the gospel. We need to use it. We need to preach the gospel with our words and with our actions.
Right, right.
Our life ought to resound the fact that the gospel's true.
Amen.
The conduct of a Christian is contrary to the conduct of the world.
Right.
And so it should be. That when the world sees us, they say, there's a peace, there's a righteousness, there's something. It's a reproach to me.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Yep.
1 Peter chapter 3. And we're almost done. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 15. It's a message worth repeating. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What's different about you? The gospel. Well, I'm on a keto diet. No. The gospel. Even if you've lost 70 pounds, say, how'd you do? The gospel. God ought to get all glory from our life. Any opportunity, I don't care what the opportunity is, we ought to share the gospel. Last verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is so powerful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thessalonians is a small book. I want you to see it though. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. First Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." He doesn't want hellfire for all eternity for you. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, what does God want with me? He wants you to be saved.
Amen.
He made it available.
Right.
Who died for us. That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. The gospel. He wants you to get in. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you born again? Have you been saved? So I think so. When I was a kid, if you don't know for sure, this is one thing you don't want to mess around with.
Right, right.
This is one decision you don't want to be on the edge or on the fence. Am I in? Am I out? You want to know.
Yeah.
God desires that you obtain salvation. Today you have an opportunity. Just like the little kids yesterday, the teenagers. Had an opportunity to get married. None of them took it. But you have a real opportunity today. If you're not saved here today, would you consider salvation? Say, what do I got to do? Well, it's simple. Admit that you're a sinner. No problem. From what you showed me this morning, no problem. I have sinned against God. And ask Him to save you from your sin. Repent of your sin. Ask Him to forgive you. Say, that's it. That's it. Confess your sin. Believe that He can. Let's all stand. So do I have to join anything? Do I have to sign anything? Do I have to pay for anything? Not a thing. It's communication between you and God. Can I just ask this? Crowd this size, is there anybody here today that does not know for sure to say, Pastor, will you just pray for me? I'd like to get saved today. Will you? Is there anybody like that here? Anybody raise a hand? Pray for me. I'd like to be saved today. I'd like to take the offer of the gospel today. Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't think I take the gospel as serious as I should. I don't think I repeat it as much as I should. Would you just pray for me for boldness? Anybody like that here today? Sure. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you raised your hand here this morning, and you would like to be saved, would you come forward when the music plays? If you're a woman, we'll pair you up with a woman. If you're a man, we'll pair you up with a man. If you're a Christian here this morning and you raised your hand and said, pray for me, Pastor, I need boldness. We have an altar up here. Would you come and pray? Maybe there's someone in your life that you've been trying to reach and you want to ask God for a little bit more mercy, a little bit more grace to reach them. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this time of invitation now. Lord, thank you for the gospel that changes our life, changes our eternity. Lord, we're so thankful. Thankful that you could take dirty sinners and turn them into glory. Lord, help us. Lord, bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?